We thank you that you are with us and you are able to see us through. When life feels good, the days ahead full of promise, our worries are few and our joys many, we praise you that you are able to offer more still. When loving is hard and caring involves pain, sharing means sacrifice, and believing entails cost, we thank you that you are able to give us strength. When loving is easy, our relationships bring joy, our friends bring pleasure, and our faith brings rewards. We praise you that you are able to bring yet greater happiness. When hopes are dashed, dreams lie broken, or visions have faded, we thank you that you are able to bring us to new purpose. When opportunities excite us, and prospects beckon, and possibilities unfold, and challenges present themselves, we praise you that you are able to help us grasp them. Lord God, in these things and many more, you are able not simply to meet our needs, but to transform our lives. And when we commit ourselves to you, we are born again. Lord, we know we are less than perfect, our faith weak, our love poor, our motives mixed, commitment unpredictable. But despite our many weaknesses, we do so much want to serve you, to live as the people you would have us be. Forgive what we have been, and direct what we shall be. We know that we fail you in numerous ways, perhaps careless in our worship, half-hearted in service, at times concerned more about ourselves than your glory. Our words saying one thing, but our deeds another. And yet, despite our weaknesses, we hunger to know you better, to share in the work of your kingdom. Forgive what we have been, and direct what we shall be. Receive our praise, and teach us that whatever we face, whether good or bad, whether we feel able to meet it or not, you are able to do more than we can ever ask or think of. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The young lady over there might be interested in this. Well, two young ladies, is it? I don't know if you can hear this. I'll try and put it next to the microphone. It's on. Oops. I'm told it's an Indian kind of rainmaker's stick, and that in various dances to bring rain, they would use one of these. It makes a sort of trickling sound. It's the sound I'm focusing on. I have something here, looks like a little frog. Whoops. See a little frog? But if you do this, makes a noise. You want to have a go? Hit that one. Yeah, very good. Do you want a little try? I don't know if you saw on the news a week or so ago, there was a woman who had been deaf since birth. She'd never heard a sound. At the age 31, they put some sort of digital implanty things or something in her ears, and they filmed her when she heard the first sounds ever in her world of silence. And they look on her face. And it's quite interesting, because when they're talking to her afterwards, because she'd never heard a sound, her speech was very, you know, as people do who've never heard. Because she could then hear that she's not speaking the same as anyone else. I presume she'll gradually learn and correct that. And things like hearing birdsong as you walk down the street, she probably heard more than we do, because we block out the traffic, we block out things. But she was hearing everything at once, which she'd never in her life heard before. She's kind of like her life had started again, she was born again. Suddenly her life had got that much more. And that's sort of basically the theme for today. So let us sing again. Number 92, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
And now we come to our gospel reading. It's a long reading from John, so I've split it into two readers. So our first reader is going to be Sally Butler.
The reading is John chapter 11, verses 1 to 27. And it's called The Death of Lazarus. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, was ill. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. The sisters sent Jesus a message. Lord, your dear friend is ill. When Jesus heard it, he said, the final result of this illness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. Teacher, the disciples answered, just a short time ago the people there wanted to stone you, and are you planning to go back? Jesus said, a day has 12 hours, hasn't it? So whoever walks in broad daylight does not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light. Jesus said this and then added, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up. The disciples answered, if he is asleep, Lord, he will get well. Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, but for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him. Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go with the teacher, so that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them over their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask him for. Your brother will rise to life, Jesus told her. I know, she replied, that he will rise to life on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she answered. I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.
Now to follow on, Sue Watts is going to continue the reading.
Having a little overlap, so to pick the story before we pick up the story again. So carrying on with John chapter 11, beginning again at verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she answered, "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately. "The teacher is here," she told her, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people who were with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. "Where have you buried him?" he asked them. "Come and see, Lord," they answered. Jesus wept. "See how much he loved him," the people said. But some of them said, "He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying?" Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes and with a cloth round his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Here ends the lesson. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Let us sing hymn number 117, 117. Can I just check that people can hear me at the back, okay? Good, thanks. Lazarus is raised from death. One of the great miracles performed by Jesus. After having been threatened with being stoned for what were said to be blasphemous statements, Jesus is withdrawn from Jerusalem to the River Jordan. There were no emails or Facebooks. It took time for the news of the illness of Lazarus to reach Jesus. And Jesus makes a statement that this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. It then seems that Jesus deliberately waits for 2 days before travelling to the family at Bethany. Why did he delay? Well, perhaps to arrive while Lazarus is still alive would have produced a situation whereby Jesus heals him. But we're approaching the time when Jesus' own death was to happen. God wishes Jesus to create a much more dramatic miracle, one which would really make people sit up and take notice, something that is a forerunner of what is to happen to himself, dying and then being raised from death. If the disciples know it happened to Lazarus, then they will believe more easily when Jesus is resurrected. By the time Jesus reaches Bethany, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Many Jews believed that the soul remained near the body for 3 days in the hope of returning to it. But after 4 days, they would know that all hope was gone. Lazarus was irrevocably dead. And Jesus now had the opportunity to show God's power operated through him by bringing Lazarus back to life. Before doing so, it's interesting it is Martha at first who has the complete faith in Jesus that he can do something. And she tells him she realizes he is the promised Messiah, the Son of God. So the stage is set. And Jesus dramatically, in front of an audience, asks Lazarus to come out of the tomb. The impossible has happened. Everyone there now knew for certain that Jesus was someone special with more than human powers. And in raising Lazarus, Jesus is pointing towards his own resurrection from the dead in the not too distant future, which is no doubt why we have this reading in the Lent run up to Easter. The long story of 45 verses holds many facets, and one of them is the shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Those two words tell us a lot about the humanity of Jesus. In his ministry, Jesus shows a full range of emotions, compassion, sorrow, indignation, even frustration. Jesus often expressed deep emotion, and we must never be afraid to reveal our true deepest feelings to him. He understands us because he has experienced the same feelings. God, who lived on earth as a human, knows how we feel. Lazarus, with Martha and Mary, was the family with whom Jesus often stayed. And we know the story of Mary sitting listening to Jesus while Martha got on with the cooking. And we can be sure that Jesus had strong personal affection for these people and would be sad to hear of Lazarus' death and to witness and feel the distress of Martha and Mary. Martha expressed her belief in the powers which Jesus held. She says, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask him for." And this is when Jesus says the famous words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answers. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Well, Martha may not have been understanding over the incident when she was cooking and Mary listening to Jesus. But she is a woman of faith who sees who Jesus really is. And here she says so. Now, we may not all be academic and ready or able to sit and listen and study like Mary. But the simplest of us can hold a strong faith. Faith is about believing, not necessarily about studying and academic ability. Faith is based on trust. And both Martha and Mary, through their experience of Jesus, completely trusted him. And trust can be difficult to achieve than seems at first, especially if it is in someone or something you can't see. A famous tightrope walker stretched his rope across the Niagara Falls above the tumbling waters. Before a breathless crowd, he walked and then ran across the falls on the tightrope. He did the same thing, blindfolded, with drums rolling. And then, still blindfolded, he pushed a wheelbarrow across the falls. The crowds went wild and the tightrope walker shouted to them, "Who believes I can push a man in this wheelbarrow across these falls?" A man at the front eagerly shouted, "I do, I believe." "Then," said the tightrope walker, "come and get into the wheelbarrow." The man quickly changed his mind, and nobody else volunteered. I imagine bungee jumpers have to have complete faith in the organisers and in the strength of the bungee rope in order to be able to throw themselves off a great height. They have to fully believe in the elastic or whatever the rope is constructed of. We are encouraged to fully believe and trust in God and the teachings and example of Jesus. The way of life that Jesus showed in his own life. Martha and Mary trusted in Jesus. And Jesus used the moment to raise Lazarus and show to all that he is someone special, someone divine. Think how you would have felt if you were a spectator at that event. I suppose today we would be thinking, well, is it a hologram or some sort of visual reality trickery? I wonder how Lazarus himself felt about being brought back to life. When he died, did he know he was dying? What must it be like to awaken in a tomb, which was in effect a cave, wrapped in the traditional way for burial? He must have been very bemused, at least at first, and then no doubt highly elated at his rescue or resurrection. I've heard people on television talk about how they experience life more fully after escaping from a death situation. Like the jockey Frankie Dettori, who escaped from a plane crash in which the pilot died, and I think another jockey was injured. People who live after a potentially fatal accident say they view life differently, treasure it more, savour the good times. They feel they've been given a second chance. It's like being born again. Did Lazarus feel as if he were born again? Did he view life differently? I would guess that any one of us would be more appreciative of things if we had nearly lost them. We would feel spiritually uplifted. In our faith life, we would perhaps feel more aware and be strengthened. The woman with the digital ear implant things, in her way, felt she was born again. She saw, or rather heard, things in a new light. But we don't have to wait for a dodgy life-threatening situation to be spiritually born again and again and again, or resurrected. On our faith journey, we can regularly be recommitting ourselves to Christ. I mean, we have, in fact, an opportunity when we take Holy Communion this morning. Holy Communion is important in our church life. In communion, we are focused on remembering the sacrifice Jesus made for each of us. And in giving ourselves fully into the spiritual ambience of communion, we are recommitting ourselves. In Holy Communion, we celebrate the subsequent resurrection of Christ. His death without his resurrection would have been pointless. And I like the way we celebrate communion in this church, saying that all are welcome. It is your choice. Some branches of Christianity are like an exclusive club where only those who are accepted as members are able to participate. In the URC, we follow a more open approach, as I believe Jesus himself did. Holy Communion can be just a rite, just a procedure. And if we're not in the right frame of mind on a particular day, well, it is just that. It is the spirit in which we engage in the sacrament of communion that counts, whether it becomes meaningful for us as an individual in our communication with God. And the same applies with prayer. How deeply we feel ourselves into the prayer and the sentiments expressed. Communion is a regular opportunity to resurrect ourselves. We all have the opportunity to look at our lives and put ourselves into the shoes of Lazarus, seeing things in a new light, appreciating the enjoyable small things in life, a smile, a beautiful flower, sunlight, delightful scenery, the joy on a child's face, the joy of being loved and cared about, the joy of loving and caring. Life is worth living. Martha and Mary trusted implicitly in Jesus. Lazarus was granted a fresh approach to his life through his resurrection. I hope he used it well. We are spiritually offered a new life whenever we take the time to meditate and commit or recommit, placing our complete trust in Jesus. I hope we use it well. Whatever our past, with the forgiveness Jesus offers us, we can face a future in closer communication, or communion, if you like, with God. We can be born again. Build up our complete trust. Be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Whatever trials and difficulties we face at the moment, there is always something good to look forward to when we trust in Jesus, as Mary and Martha did. Jesus wept. Jesus cares and feels for us. Trust in him. Amen. Now to sing hymn number, jumping ahead. Let's have a few prayers of intercession first. Almighty and everlasting God, we do not always know what to ask for in our prayers, for there is so much that we do not know or understand. Yet we know that you are active in our world, moving in human hearts and in the events of history to fulfill your purpose. So we come now to you, and in quiet faith we place ourselves and our world into your hands, asking that your will may be done, despite everything that conspires against it. All things are yours. We entrust them into your keeping. We bring ourselves, weak, hesitant, foolish, We bring all we are and all we long to be, seeking your help and your transforming touch. We bring those who are part of our lives, family and friends, neighbours, colleagues at work, all those whom we meet in the daily round of life. All things are yours. We entrust them into your keeping. We bring our world, your world, the rich and poor, powerful and weak, the well-fed and the hungry, the healthy and the sick, those who enjoy peace and those who endure war. We ask for your love throughout the world to spread to those areas where there is conflict, and that peaceful resolutions be found. We pray for the outcome of the voting in Iraq, Afghanistan, all these places where there is conflict. We pray for the people of Syria, many now in Lebanon and Jordan and other countries. Lord, we pray that your love will spread through human hearts, that those negotiators and leaders will come to let your will be done on earth. We thank you that you are involved in our lives. We pray for people known to us in need of your healing and comfort, those in hospitals, those in severe ill health. And in half a minute of silence, we bring to you personally people known to us, if we wish, that are in need of your healing and comfort. Your will be done, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. All things are yours, we entrust them into your keeping, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let's just take our offering.
We ask your blessing upon these gifts of money and your blessing on ourselves as we offer ourselves in your service. Amen. Now our next hymn is number, we always have to make a mistake sometime or other, it is number 447, I come with joy to meet our Lord, 447. Is it this one you want moved across? I don't know, someone's probably thought, oh that's wrong. The table is prepared, the invitation extended, bread will be broken, wine poured out. Come now and share the supper. Celebrate this most precious of gifts. Eat and find food for your souls. Drink and be filled to overflowing. The table is ready. The Lord is here. Come and share in this simplest of feasts, this finest of meals. The offer is his. The moment is ours. Christ is waiting to touch our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. So let us pray. Loving God, the world you made is beautiful and full of wonder. You made us with all your creatures, and you love all that you have made. You gave us the words of your prophets, the stories of your people through the generations, and the gathered wisdom of many years. You gave us Jesus, your Son, to be born and to grow up in difficult times when there was little peace. He embraced people with your love and told stories to change us all. He healed those in pain and brought to life those who had lost hope. He made friends with anyone who would listen and loved even his enemies. For these things he suffered, for these things he died. And he was raised from death and lives with you forever. You give us your Holy Spirit to teach and to strengthen us, to remind us of Jesus, and to make us one in him. For all these gifts we thank you, and we join with all your people on earth and in heaven in joyful praise. Amen. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by St. Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So again, let us pray. We offer you thanks, Creator, Saviour, Giver of life. From the beginning you have made yourself known. In wisdom you made all that is, and you bless us with earth's fruitfulness. You are merciful and gracious and abounding in love. Yet from our first days we at times disobey your will. Long ago you called to yourself a people to shine as light, to guide all nations to your presence. You led them to freedom. You revealed to them your law and taught them through your prophets. Finally, you sent your promised Son, Jesus Christ, who shared our human nature and understood our weakness. Born of Mary, he showed forth your love by word and sign. And therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we praise you. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, and upon us, your people, that Christ may be with us, and we may be made ready to live for you, and to do what you ask of us, today and every day to come. And we make this prayer through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Creator, one God, to whom be glory and praise forever. Amen. So Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." In our normal procedure, as we receive the bread, we eat it as we receive it. And when the wine is offered later, we hold it and drink together. took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ spilt for you. Let us pray. Loving God, you have fed us generously at this table as we have remembered Jesus and rejoiced that he is with us today. We are now ready to follow him, to be reborn, if you like, and to be your people in the world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way. Make us holy. And fill us with love. We pray for the church, for the great church throughout the world, and for our own church community gathered today for worship and prayer. May we remember Jesus every day, grow in understanding of him, and learn to love you and our neighbour. Fill us with your Spirit, and make us people of peace, of faithful prayer and loving action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 705. Whoever you are, wherever you go, whatever your strengths, whatever your weaknesses, God will be with you to hold, to heal, to guide, and to bless. Go then in peace, assured of his love. Amen.